Hello and welcome to this month's episode of Sistrix with Kanda. I am Jack Chambers Ward. I am joined by Mark Williams Cook. Hello, Mark. How are you?
As always, awesome.
Awesome stuff. This is the penultimate of 2023. It is November. We are getting towards the end of the year, but there is always stuff to talk about in SEO. We're going to be diving into more Google news, some DOJ trial stuff. We're going to dive into that in some detail and some very interesting revelations coming out of that, I think. We're going to talk about new markup, and we're also going to be talking about Google Notes, Google Follow, and plenty of other stuff on this month's episode as well. Shall we dive straight into, of course, Sistrix? Thank you, Sistrix, for having us on your YouTube channel. Thank you for hosting us. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. And you can go and subscribe to their brand new newsletter. You can go to sistrix.com/newsletter, very nice and easy, and get the SEO monthly and major news delivered to your inbox once or twice a month, written by the one and only Jono Alderson. I think you know Jono from the years and years in SEO, Mark, and he's pretty well known in the industry.
Jono's made his mark.
he definitely has.
Yeah. In fairness, I am actually really excited about this newsletter, and that's a rare thing for me to say. So I currently...
The highest compliment you can give to a newsletter.
I'm not really a newsletter person, so I only really subscribe, well, not really, I only subscribe SEO-wise to Leda's SEO FOMO, because I really like how that's run. But Jono is someone actually who I've always got time to listen to. I've seen lots of his talks, and it's very rare that I see Jono speak and he doesn't kind of set my brain off down another, a couple of things, that he doesn't set me down a whole new kind of line of thinking. And I normally learn stuff from him. He's got a really good, I think he said he's got a good brain for this kind of thing.
Good brain for SEO, absolutely.
Yeah, I would recommend people subscribe to that. He is very, very worth listening to.
Definitely. Huge get by Sistrix. Congratulations, Sistrix, working with Jono. And Jono, congratulations for working with Sistrix as well. Very cool to see
a
two
match
people.
Made in heaven.
Exactly. A match made in heaven, in SEO heaven, as it were. Like I said, go to sistrix.com/newsletter. Go and check out, and you subscribe to Trendwatch there, which we talk about regularly on the show. If you haven't heard that on the podcast before or seen it on the video episodes before, we've talked about that plenty of times. That's also at sistrix.com/newsletter. So you can go and check out that as well as getting your monthly news updates from the one and only Jono Alderson. Let's talk about this Google trial, shall we?
The Dodge.
Cool. Yeah, the DOJ, Department of Justice stuff that we need to dive into. And particularly wanted to highlight a breakdown by AJ Kahn, I think is perhaps the best article I've seen about all this stuff, kind of summarizing all. And here is the article on blind5yearold.com.
That is an old blog. I was reading this blog over a decade, probably 15 years ago, along with the Google Cache and Blue Hat SEO, this blog. And it's a perfect time capsule of a blog as well. With all respect, AJ, it hasn't moved with the times, with the design, but the content's still great.
Hey, you can subscribe by RSS feed, right, guys?
Yeah, on Google Reader or Fireburner. Is that what it's called? Feedburner.
Feedburner.
God, it's so long ago. I remember
those from the early podcasting days. Like, that's how you got podcasts, was your Feedburner links. Good Lord. But yeah, huge shout out to AJ Kahn. Thank you for summarizing, highlighting, and commenting on Pandu Nayak, which is the vice president of search, as you can see in the article there. The antitrust hearings that have been going on all throughout October. And there is a full transcript link. We'll put a link for that in the show notes and in the show description on YouTube, so you can go and check that out in full. But this article itself, which will also be linked in the show notes and description, gives you a pretty nice breakdown of that kind of stuff, right? And we're going to get into a few different elements of it. And I think we're going to kick off with the little thing that's teased just there, Nav Boost.
I'm so Nav Boost excited about all of this, right? I can't tell you, I'm more excited at the moment about doing SEO than I have been for a whole bunch of years. Not just because everything's changing in a violently chaotic fashion.
Well, we'll get to that with the SERPs just completely shifting in a minute. But
so this kind of information, and what I think AJ does really well in this article is, so we're getting some specific technical details about how Google, I'd be fair to say, used to work, because a lot of the documents quite old, so I don't know how relevant all of it is now.
A lot of them for 2015, 2016 kind of era on there,
Yeah, but I'm like all over this because, you know, as you're working in SEO, you're building up a little framework in your head about, well, if I do this, if we're in this situation with this website and this links and this content, I think this is going to happen. And then, you know, you see a SERP change and you're like, well, I think this has happened because of this. And what I love about this kind of information is it can confirm, actually, yes, there is a system doing this thing that, you know, you kind of assumed and everyone guessed, but you could never say for sure, Google is doing this. Because, you know, you've always got that fear, like some Googler sitting there like watching you going, that's not how any of that works, you idiot. I mean, the NavBoost stuff, and NavBoost is something AJ talked about again, like years ago. But it's just really the confirmation about, and you know, the thing that came out of this, I think, that lots of people spoke about was, Google's using click data. And, you know, they had told us that before. I was talk about the Paul Ha, I think it was called a day in the life of a search engineer like that. It was SMX West 2016 on YouTube. You'll find it. And he talks about Google using click data on the SERPs and running experiments and things like that, and talking about how user data is noisy. I think the biggest misunderstanding this cleared up in a lot of ways is, it seems from my interpretation of this, that most of the click data that is used is gathered from the SERP and not on the kind of website.
Yes.
So there's always been lots of things about, you know, people saying, oh, people need to do this action on your site or this through analytics. But it looks like, as we kind of try to, you know, tell people, it looks like it's SERP data. And you get really interesting specifics here. So like on NavBoost, they said NavBoost is trained on click data on queries over the past 13 months prior to 2017. So this is actually after 2017 now, this information. It was trained on 18 months of data. So even things like that, knowing, you know, Google's kind of made the lens smaller of the time range they're looking at to, you know, because they've decided obviously that improves the quality of their SERP. And so many other things drop into place. So this whole NavBoost thing, they're talking about people selecting specific results in the SERP as a signal, right? So if people do a search and everyone's clicking on result 3, for instance, it's, you know, it's a fair signal consistently that maybe we should put that one up.
Yeah, definitely.
And this just brings in, you know, we've seen studies about how people click on known brands in SERPs way more than sites they haven't heard of, which again then brings the parallel, you know, Google, I think it was Larry maybe said that brands are the answer.
Right.
I can't remember which one of the Googlers said that, but about solving the spam problem, right? So how, part of the way they're doing that is through the shared voice of people, of, you know, people have brand bias, so let's use that to get better results. So you can see then why maybe big companies have an easier time ranking, because they get an uneven distribution of the clicks. So Google adjusts to that. And all of this now is kind of confirmed that, yes, that's what we've been doing. We have systems specifically for this.
I think that ties into so much of the EAT stuff we talk about as well, right? Like a brand already having that trust and already being a household name already ticks a few of those boxes. You're more likely to buy directly from Nike or Adidas or whoever than just some Jack's shoe shop. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's an inherent kind of trust there from the user to go straight to that brand. And yeah, I think the perfect example is taking that third ranking domain or that third ranking page and that actually getting a bit of a boost because more people are scrolling past position 1 and position 2 to get to that. And like you said, I think that's, we've been talking about for a very, very long time in SEO, well before I was ever in SEO. But the fact that this is kind of confirmed now and actually, you know, like we said, it's old data, it's old news really, but actually getting it confirmed directly from the vice president of search is still a pretty big deal, especially, you know, when they're under law to speak the truth and all that, you're under oath and all that kind of thing. So I think it's still important stuff that we need to think about. And yeah, that is a an interesting part of search that I think, like you said, a lot of people focusing on the, oh, your page needs to do this, but actually user data and click data and all that kind of stuff from the SERPs themselves, I feel is something people don't particularly talk about as much. People are so focused on the page and my site, they don't think about the bigger picture of what's actually happening on the SERP in the same way.
So from this as well, there's two other things that really excited me. There's a whole bunch, but these are the two I want to talk about. One is, so we've been discussing as well in the agency recently, some of the Google patents, such as there is a patent for site quality.
Right? Yes.
And the site quality patent talks about using click data to determine which sites might be of good quality. And there is a related patent, which is basically about estimating site quality when you don't have click data. Because of course, you know, any new website, Google has no user data on it, and you know, they won't until it ranks. And it talks about saying, okay, well, we've got this sample of all of these websites where we have scored through user data and given them a site quality. Then they build this phrase model, which is basically just looking at the words on the page and correlating that to what they scored with site quality and using that as an estimate for, right, this website's new. We don't know, you know, we haven't got any user data for it, but it's kind of this shape, which is a very similar shape, and I'm using shape as an abstract here, you know, an abstract for a model that, you know, it's a similar shape to all these really good ones. And whereas this website, you know, is a completely different shape. It looks like all the bad ones. So that's how they can do this first estimating. And I think this explains a lot of the things, how we've seen Google behave. And if you talk to a lot of experienced SEOs, they'll say that, you know, you get a site rank, and I think people, this is maybe what people used to refer to as the sandbox, which is people kind
the
of
elusive
rank.
Google sandbox.
Yeah, people rank, and your new site is ranking based on this prediction model. And then quite a common thing people see is a site will kind of just jump up in rankings for a bit. And the agreed what we think Google was doing, but we didn't have this information, was maybe it's like testing it out, like giving it a trial run with users and seeing what feedback it gets. And, you know, it's not uncommon sometimes the site just drops off, or it stays, but maybe goes a little bit lower. And I think this is when Google's decided, okay, yeah, it fits our phrase model for what we think is okay. Now we're going to start experimenting with user data and seeing if basically you're beating or equal to what's already there. And then that's how maybe one of the reasons, because there may be more, we see this almost two-stepped ranking in Google. And again, this is all, you know, all stuff that's been theorized before and picked together, but having it all laid out, it's like, yeah, that will make sense that those systems probably work in that way.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a big part of that. Yeah, actually getting the confirmation. We say this so often, right? Oh, you have to really interpret what Google is saying. You should always listen when Googlers talk and when they make official statements and stuff, but getting this kind of stuff that is in essentially black and white text, right, is pretty unusual to get this kind of thing. So definitely worth paying attention to regardless.
I mean, what they've been saying recently in the testimony is actually they don't need user data so much. Mm. Now they have BERT and this bidirectional model. Through just mass analysis of raw text, they were kind of like, yeah, we can actually make pretty good predictions without your clicks. So again, this is fairly old, at least 5-6 years old data there. So, or testimony about things that are that old, so it may not hold exactly true now because BERT is relatively new. But the other thing before we move on that I found really interesting here, and AJ mentions in the documents, there's these references to green ring and blue ring. Mm. And this combines with something I saw Cyrus Shepherd tweeting about, which is the Google index size came out. So Google knows about trillions and trillions of documents, but they apparently the index is only around 400 billion pages. But this blue ring, green thing seems to talk about Google essentially trying to cull the amount of pages that go through algorithms which are perhaps more expensive to run. So they're more accurate. Yeah. But it's like, you know, okay, well, we can easily detect if you're just, you know, you've got gibberish. So if you've got gibberish, we're not going to bother running an expensive, you know, model to work
try
out.
Try and decipher what's
else.
Going on. Yeah, yeah.
And there's like a few levels to that. And what I find really interesting is this can help you with the confusion sometimes of if you've got a site that just isn't ranking at the moment, I think sometimes people are focusing on the wrong things.
Mm.
So you're like, oh, you know, but the content's so good, or we need to make sure we're going to
content is the number one ranking factor.
Yeah, right. And they're like, oh, we need to make sure we're going to add, you know, author bios or something. But I think in those situations, it's like, actually, it's something else that you don't have or you haven't done that, you know, Google doesn't care in this case whether you've got author profiles or not, because you're not in the race. You're not, you haven't made it through to that, you know, that phase of
the race.
You're
trying to run before you can walk kind of thing.
Yeah, so you need to work out, okay, maybe it's that, you know, your website has no links, for instance, and it's been around ages and Google's like, well, I'm not that interested in your million pages because it can't be that good. So I think, again, those systems just give you a clarity to the logic of how Google might be working.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've seen it before when sites have had obvious ranking problems, visibility problems, and sometimes people are focusing on things that are, to me, feel like tiebreakers rather what do we need to do to prove to Google that we're a brand, we're trustworthy, we're authoritative. And that's why so many people kind of laugh and say, you know, it's always links. Like, because links helps qualify you for a lot of these other tests.
Yeah, I think so many people get stuck in the discovered but not currently indexed phase, right? And I know something Daniel Frehley Carter talked about in his Search Norwich talk last month, talking about that process of so many people getting stuck in that kind of limbo of, oh, I'm not even indexed yet. I don't even, like, as you said, like, you're not even in the race yet. How are you getting through this?
Yeah.
And something we talked about with one of our sites recently that was hit by one of the recent updates, thinking about how links affect it and how the overall sites are like understood and indexed on a wider scale rather than focusing, like you said, on like, oh, we need author bios, or oh, we need to make sure all of our internal links have proper anchor text and all this kind of stuff. Focusing on those minute things is all well and good, but you've got to be somewhere before you try to go
in the
first.
Race.
Yeah, you've got to be in that race to even start the race.
Sitting in the car park worried about what trainers you've got on. Like, get to the start line. Run barefoot.
I feel seen. Yeah, definitely. Shall we talk about some Google Notes?
Can't wait to talk about it.
Because Google Notes and Google Follow are something coming up in Search Lab. So that is the experimental side of Google that are trying to introduce to SERPs. People have basically got a nice little thing where you can add comments and add, I don't want to say it's kind of like Reddit, kind of like a forum, but you can add comments and notes to it. Here's a lovely little GIF provided by Google directly. And you can go through and like, oh, look, you can see all the different notes and how lovely they are. And, oh, people enjoying frosting and all this kind of stuff.
Little lemon zest in your cream cheese frosting and is the way to go.
Look at the little cuddly characters and stuff. And Swiss buttercream paired really well with this one. Oh, frosting
This was the dream that was sold to the execs, wasn't it, before they got funding to do this?
Yeah. This is, we got all these lovely, like, user-generated content. Now people are contributing to the SERPs directly and essentially being able to give that nudge to a particular article saying, oh, this is worth commenting on and all this kind of stuff.
We need that Simpsons gif of Homer skipping going, I live in a world of pixies.
The land of chocolate.
You know it. You can count on Jack for a Simpsons reference.
And the Germans. Mr. Simpson. That was 10 minutes ago. Anyway, what is kind of actually true, and to the surprise of, I assume, absolutely nobody, this is what actually comes up on Google Notes.
My ass hurts.
Gardening
looks amazing. Is better than murder.
Gardening is better. I should buy a house with a big garden.
Recipes.
Oh my God. Like, it's such a tonal shift between like a little lemon zest in your cream cheese frosting goes a long way with a cuddly little character having a little cake thing. Adorable. To my ass hurts. I don't know what they expected. Have Google never been on Reddit or Quora or a forum of any kind where it's just open to anyone to do anything they want? Because I saw this coming a million miles away. I don't know how they didn't.
Yeah, they did. When I was in middle school, they had an art project and they just had this wall and gave kids markers. And they were like, you can draw whatever you like, right? And it's like, if you give a 10-year-old boy a pen, I can guarantee what the... what he's going to draw, right? And I feel this is what happens with Google Notes. And,
a little bit.
You know, you may not have seen it. There was a blog post as well last week from a Googler of 18 years giving his opinion about Google and how morale is kind of low at the moment and innovation is suffering and they're making short-term decisions over long-term user-focused decisions. And to be, you know, this may be my ignorance, right? Because I'm not in Google. I don't have the data they have. You know, I'm definitely not as smart as most of the people that work there. But it seems like this product particularly has failed like a common sense check on the way out.
Yeah.
It feels really out of touch. And like, I know it's important to experiment, right? You know, and Google's had, you know, there's jokes about the Google graveyard of stuff of, you know, Google Plus One, Google Wave, Google Buzz, I remember, you know, and so, but when
and
they...
And that's true for cert features as well, right?
Yeah.
There's loads of stuff they try out and it never actually gets rolled out.
And they had like Google Circles. I remember like, they tried a whole bunch of stuff, right? But when these things came out, they were like fairly new concepts and they felt a bit, but they're maybe it could work, right? Because nobody knew they wanted an iPhone before they came out, right? They did, when they did like user polling, everyone wanted like a stylus. Yeah, nobody wanted a touch phone and Jobs was like, nah, you're having a touch phone. Trust me, it's better for you. So I understand there's that level of innovation, but everyone saw this coming.
Yeah, but my ass hurts, Mark.
You know, everyone saw this coming and all of these comments as well are indexed, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the key thing as well. That's something I think you mentioned it before we started recording. And I think a lot of people have not really clocked onto like, these are on the SERPs.
Yeah.
These are indexed by Google. This is not just like fiddly D, enjoy your frosting and whatever. Like they're expecting this article's advice, help me become a braver baker. So it's like, again, sending those trust signals and that kind of stuff. It is such a Homer Simpson land of chocolate moment where they're just like, well, people are going to say, was this article helpful? Yes. And I know it's something we've talked about with clients and a lot of people are talking about at the moment where you implement like a, has this article been helpful for you? Yes or no kind of thing.
Yeah.
Again, kind of similar to Reddit and Quora and all that kind of stuff where you get this user generated forum of upvotes, downvotes, pluses and minuses, whatever the version is. But you also get, my ass hurts. Like,
stop saying it.
I feel like we're going to get censored by Systrix, so I'll say it one more time. But it blows my mind that like they were so naive, like you said, going into this.
Well, Google's stated goal, right, is the goal is to provide helpful insights from real people alongside regular results.
I'm not saying it, but I'm saying
and it. And it's just not.
What did they expect? I don't understand.
In its current version, it's not going to do that. I mean, the other thing that's interesting is, so, you know, you've got the ability, as we said, to like follow topics in search.
We'll get on to that.
And we've got these notes, yeah. And I think this does align to what we've seen with the more user-generated content Google's leaning towards, this personal experience. And they're going to use this data to help with Discover as well. And like, I'm a big fan of Discover. I think they've done really well.
You've really made a U-turn on Discover in the last few months, mate.
So I use Discover more than Reddit now.
Wow.
And like, I've been a Redditor for like 17 years or something. And it doesn't make me log in every 5 minutes, which is great. And it's just more relevant to things I'm interested in.
Yeah.
Sometimes a little too hyper-focused.
I know, I showed my Discover on, I opened the floodgates up to my own Discover last month and it pretty much nailed me. It was a bunch of video game stuff. It was board game stuff. Like it knew me pretty well just from what I'm searching for. Like, do you want to buy a Steam Deck, Jack? And I'm like, yes, I do, but I don't have the money to buy a Steam Deck, but here's an offer. Here's the new Steam Deck or whatever. Like Discover I found, and explaining it to people who don't work in SEO, the term I always use, it's basically Google, but a social media feed. And this is very much tying into the notes kind of thing. It kind of just feels like comments on a Twitter post or whatever, or comments, like I said, using Reddit and Quora as an example, but even more things like Threads or Instagram or whatever, you get that kind of just scrolling feed. Mm. Discover to me is feeling more and more like social media stuff. And coming around to follow, so here's an example from Google of the new follow on the SERPs, which is basically directly pulled from Discover, which you could already do on Discover because I keep telling it, no, I don't want to follow this thing. No, I don't want to know about football or whatever sport. I don't want to know about half marathon training. But this is Google demonstrating. You can go into half marathon training. You can scroll all the way down and then click a little follow thing. And notice we're not on Discover here.
Yeah.
This is the key, right? This is bringing some, essentially some Discover features over to the main SERPs. and kind of blending the two a little bit. And to me, it feels like it's all part of that bigger picture of user content and user feedback and all that kind of stuff, right? This ties into the ass hurts side of things. This ties into notes and follow and how discoverers evolved and stuff. And I know Lily Ray has been doing some brilliant analysis on Google recently, talking about how powerful Discover has been for some of their clients when she's been working with them, you know, through AMPSIV and stuff like that. And I think it's a weird thing for me. I don't want my SERPs to look like social media, but I can see why it would be beneficial to a lot of people to have a more personalized experience, right? And have a way you can filter your SERPs a bit more easily rather than going through and just searching the same thing over and over and over again until Google learns, yeah, that's what you want to follow. Just me searching naturally has customized my Discover feed. I'm sure you found the same way as well, right, Mark? Like having a SERP that is more personalized to you, first of all, that makes our job of reporting to our clients much more difficult. If you have like, oh, not as many people are searching for half marathon training now. It's like, well, yeah, more people are following you though. Like, is that a thing like down the road? Obviously, this is a very early experimental stages and all that kind of stuff. And Discover is notoriously difficult to report on outside of just impressions and clicks, essentially. How far are we going to get into this where we can actually start using this data to, from our end of things, from a user and from an SEO perspective, understand what's going on and the benefits of it, right? How are we going to report that to clients in the future? How are people going to be able to report that to their stakeholders and say, oh yeah, we've gained 1,500 new followers on Google in the UK? Like, is that it all sounds like social media stuff to me. When you start saying you've gained followers, you're just kind of talking about social media stuff, right? And it feels like this weird, almost like bringing popularity into it. We're talking about big brands and stuff as well. The people more likely to follow big brands than particular topics. There's so much nuance and like extra bits in this that I think it looks fairly simple. I'm like, oh yeah, you can follow a topic, but where it comes out of that and what we get out of it on the other end, we still don't know. And I find that really interesting. It's like, what's the big plan here? What's the goal?
I mean, I think Google's big plan, big goal is to get away from just being a search engine because Amazon and Reddit take big chunks out of their kind of addressable market in terms of you can just go on Reddit to look at stuff. I don't really know. Like, I go on Reddit, right? I would go on Reddit because I didn't know what I was going to find on there. Yeah. I'm discovering stuff, but it knows what I'm interested in.
The front page of the web was the old tagline,
exactly.
Right?
Like, so Google's kind of like, well, we don't want people doing that. We want them staying in our search engine where we can sell them ads. Same with Amazon. What Google's doing with shopping as well, because I see products through Discover as well.
Yep. I mentioned the Steam Deck thing earlier. Like, exactly. It was trying to sell me a Steam Deck.
It's Google's way. I think that's the strategy, is like the web's becoming in some ways more centralized around a few big sites. So they don't like that because they want to be the big site. And the only thing I can think I'd end with on notes is if they're just going to accept that, yeah, a big chunk of notes are going to be complete trash, but because of how good they are at text processing now, maybe they can use those notes in aggregate to work out which content is genuinely better and more helpful. And that might be one of the threads they are using to attack AI content, because I think they're really struggling that, you know, they can't tell when AI text is hallucinating, when it's not that useful, but humans can still tell.
Yeah.
And if humans can, you know, weigh in, even in a small amount, it might be enough data to help them bring their SERPs around and sort of remain useful.
I know you got a response from ChatGPT yesterday, that was like, don't worry, Mark, the code I tried is working. Pretty sure it's not working. No, I tested it. It's fine. Like, okay. Like, there's no further conversation there. And I think, Google is in this weird position where we're seeing so much AI-generated spam. I know there was the big, we stole millions of clicks from our competitors thing that came out. Will not name that. It was a whole discussion that happened on Twitter and LinkedIn over the last few days. But it is just mass-generated spamming through AI and, like, scraping sitemaps and all this kind of stuff that people have kind of been doing for years in many ways. But now AI is just exponentially speeding up that process for anybody.
It's like
wants
the
to
industrial
kind of
revolution in terms of pollution. So yeah, people were in their cottage industry, to quote The Verge, like polluting a bit, but now we've got big nuclear power stations we can pollute the river with, just churning out.
Maybe The Verge was right all along, right?
Yeah.
To echo your post earlier today. Just like, yeah, kind of. Maybe we did ruin the
internet. Take that one on the notes, Verge, right? Let's move on.
Yeah.
We'll share the AdSense money with you.
Let's wrap up. Funny enough, kind of tying into a lot of this stuff and wrapping things up, because we're looking at perspectives as well, because Google has a little screenshot here of perspectives. Let's talk about some new markup. Yeah. Profile page and discussion forum posting, which is kind of the two things we've kind of been talking about for the last while. How much the SERPs are now looking like social media, because profile page to me is a social media term and discussion forum posting is a forum thing. We're talking about Quora, we're talking about Reddit, we're talking about other forums. The fact that Google is interested in highlighting and specific people highlighting this through markup and structured data, I think is very interesting to see the direction they're going in, and fact that we have kind of new tools to play with and new ways of highlighting this stuff, right?
So Google says profile page markup is designed for any site where creators, either people or organizations, share first-hand perspectives. It allows Google search to better identify information about the creator, such as their name or social media handle, profile photo, follower count, or the popularity of their content.
There we go. See?
Discussion forum posting markup is designed for any forum style site where people collectively share first-hand perspectives. It allows Google search to better identify forum sites and online discussions across the web. We want to get better at identifying and classifying first-hand experience type content.
Something we've been talking about a lot in WAT, right? Experience, there's such a thing they're focusing on right now.
Yeah, I mean, they've made it this gamble, which I don't think's at the moment paying off, which is, we'll show Reddit and Quora and YouTube for everything. And, you know, I'm regularly, you know, sorry, Google, people that work at Google, it's a hard job, but I'm regularly getting the worst results I've got in years on Google. And yes, getting like Reddit posts from 10 years ago. And I'm like, what good is that?
Yeah.
Like, it's madness. I was Googling the other day about, I was looking for like recommendations for new laptops that run Linux, because some of the new features like the fingerprint stuff doesn't work well
right
with Linux. Yep. And I was literally getting like 8-year-old Reddit posts coming up and American sites as well, which for a transactional query, Google knowing I'm in the UK, and it's just giving me big authoritative affiliate, basically sites that are kicking you off to affiliates, and it's all in dollars, and I can't get them, or they're called different things in the UK. And I was like, honestly, I was like, this is trash. Like, it's not helpful at all. Like, I've got really old first-hand experience that isn't relevant, and I've got pages where I can't even transact because it's an American site.
Yeah.
And that was like the whole first page for this big, fairly big term, like thousands of searches.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think they've realized there's then probably in some kind of technical damage limitation mode of how do we improve this? We've made our bed. We think it's the right way to go, but we've got to make it better.
Again, it's trying to combat that AI spam we were just talking about, right? Like, once you get firsthand experience from a user, a real person who can prove that they know what they're talking about as much as they can, really, digitally, I guess, then you kind of combat that just churning out crap through AI, where there is no author, there is no particular person behind it, there is no Mark has worked in SEO for 20 years, blah, blah, blah. There's no like specific person behind it all. But they are really leaning hard into this.
And did you see the sports magazine, the well-known one that got caught recently? They were, it was all fake AI authors.
Yes.
Yeah. So the other thing is, you know, you can just tell AI content to write from the first person perspective as if it's them experiencing it.
Yeah.
And then it becomes very difficult to work out who is a real person and who is a sock puppet, you know, profile created.
I took away the Bert and Ernie thing we had last week. I got to flash that up on screen. But yeah, I think that is hugely relevant, right? When I know one of our digital PR executives here, Floor, was just talking about the author of the journalist for this article was correspondent. And I was like, come on, man. Like,
how just mocking us now.
Right? Yeah. They're always just rubbing it in. And I wonder how much of it is like, how much can you get away with, right? Just push the boundaries as much as you can and be like, correspondent is the number one drinks bottle aficionado in the world, like the most well-renowned and respected, that kind of thing. How much can you just make up a person? I know people have been doing this on their work sites as well. So like you get, like, for example, we have on the Canada site, if you go to our team page, you can see everybody there. You can see their job roles. We've got little descriptions of our responsibilities and all this kind of stuff. And you can see who's the director, who's in the SEO team, who's a developer, all this kind of stuff. Entire companies are just made up to create fake, like, creator accounts or fake expertise accounts where they're like, yeah, this is an expert in SEO. It's Jack Blobfish. And it's like, yep, here he is. He's the guy. And it's just like, I mean, I'm a fairly generic looking white dude. Just like put my face into an AI generator and be like, it's a white guy with glasses on. Must be an SEO expert. Like, yeah, great.
No, we're all bald.
That's fair. I've got too much hair to be an SEO expert.
This is though why, as I said to begin with, I think it's a really exciting time to be working in SEO, because although the guideline, I always say, you know, the guidelines, what you should be doing hasn't changed, there's a lot more stuff going on in terms of content, in terms of technology, in terms of how people are accessing content, discover LLMs. You know, I think it's such an exciting time to be working in SEO and working out what we should be doing. And, you know, that second guessing, is this thing going to be around in 5 years' time? Seeing when people are pulling heists, which, you know, probably I would guess are not going to pan out in the long term.
No, that would be my guess as well. Like I said, a lot of this is also covered in Daniel Foley Carter's talk that happened at Search and Orange last month. So go and check that out on YouTube while you're here on YouTube as well. Highly recommend that. It was a really, really interesting talk talking about the future of search and Daniel's experience over the past 25 pre-Google SEO. That's how long Daniel's been doing it.
That confused a lot of people as well.
I saw a lot of comments on the YouTube.
They were like, how can you do SEO before search engines? Like,
yeah, before Google. Alta Vista, people. That's what we're talking about. but yes, go and check that out. Thank you so much for listening and joining us if you're watching on YouTube as well. Like I said, go to sistrix.com/newsletter. You can get Jono Olsson's brand new monthly newsletter delivered with all the latest SEO news and updates there as well. You can, of course, get Trendwatch there as well if you go to sistrix.com/trends, but you can also get that on the newsletter page as well. Links for all that will be in the show notes for the podcast or in the show description down below if you're watching on YouTube. Thank you so much for watching. We'll be back next month with the final episode of 2023 of Sistrix with Canda. It's going to be a big one. It's going to be a big one. We'll do a big chat about the summary of 2023, I guess. We'll have a big chat about that. And
that is a big topic.
Lots to talk about.
And how Google's finished all its updates, so it's going to be plain sailing for 2024.
Because 2023 wasn't a notorious year for updates or anything.
No.
We'll all be fine. Anyway, thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you next month.